Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. I want to thank you for tuning in today. As always, we welcome you to our show and would love to welcome you to some of our public meetings. They're held the third Tuesday of every month downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom. They're held at 7 p.m. You can come early and socialize, get to meet some like thinkers, people that think the way you do, I hope. And you can also sign up to join CCTA at the time. We could always use more voices and more help in doing what we do.
I'm into that.
Rainer, she's our membership chairman, so she'd love to talk to you. Hal is our co-chair this year, and that puts him in charge of programs. And the program for this month is?
On the 15th, we're having a forum for the people who are campaigning or are candidates for the Board of Education.
In Craven County.
In Craven County.
Craven County Board of Education candidates forum, and that'll be, again, on the 15th at 7 p.m. downtown.
So far, only one has said that they can't be there, and most of them have confirmed that they will be there, but a couple I hadn't been able to get in touch with.
Okay.
I sent them all emails, so they all know about it, I hope.
Well, and I think one of the neat things about CCTA's forums is we always invite all candidates, regardless of what political party they belong to, whereas the political parties have things of that sort, but they typically just have the people who are on their side.
That's true, but I would like to point out that the Board of Education considers themselves nonpartisan, although, of course, what you said is what party they belong to, and that's also correct.
You know, Rick, as you opened up, you said, and CCTA, a lot of us are very, very constitutional-minded or whatever else. If you're not, come on out and have a civil discussion with us about why you take a different position. But come to have a civil discussion.
Right. And please, we would like for you to bring the facts with you. If you were trying to make a point, let's do it based on facts. So, you know, what are your sources? Where are you getting your information? Or are you just repeating talking points from something? We like to back up what we say with the sources, the documents, the facts. And as Bob said, we'd love to have a political discourse with you and a civil conversation.
You know, an interesting topic that I hear people talking about a lot today is whether or not there should be term limits on members of Congress. And oddly enough, there was I guess you'd call it a forum put on. I've forgotten who sponsored it, but there were about five candidates for public office coming up in November. And all five of them said they'd be in favor of a constitutional amendment which would limit to terms to different lengths for the Senate and House, but term limits for all of them. And I know right many people, including Michael Speciale, who don't agree with that.
I don't agree with it either.
Most of us don't agree with it.
It would make the unelected bureaucracy stronger yet compared to the people we get to elect. That's not a good thing.
Not only that, we already have term limits. Every 2 to 4 years, they're called elections.
Yep.
Okay, so if you are tired of somebody being in office, get out and get to work to get them replaced,
mm-hmm.
or run for office yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are your term limits. Our founding fathers put that in place, and I think it's good enough. Okay, let me get on with the introductions. We have Bob,
hello,
and Mary Griswold,
hello.
Mary again is Right Wing Grannies. It's a conservative blog that's visited by thousands of people every day, and she's quite popular. So check out rightwinggranny.com, and she's always got interesting posts up there. We have Melissa.
Hey, hello. You know, I'd like to say something about Bob. You kind of skipped over him. He is a great contributor to our show and writes up a lot of really good things, but he always introduces himself as Mary Schofer. So hey. I guess.
I forgot.
Yeah. Yes, he is Mary Schofer, that's for sure. Okay, and we have Hal and Rainer James.
Hey.
And
hey
due to inclement weather and driving conditions, Diane Rufino could not be with us tonight. She drives here every week from Pitt County, from Greenville, to participate in the show. But, you know, sometimes weather and other circumstances prevents her from getting here. But we do have a guest speaker, and the guest speaker tonight is Alan Harrop. And Alan was a candidate for school board. Unfortunately, he didn't make it through the primary.
But you had to bring that up, didn't you? Start with a good positive note.
Yeah. Hey, I'd like to mention this is Dr. Alan Harrop.
Dr. Alan Harrop, okay. Yeah.
Don't hold that against me.
Okay. Well, Alan, it's pretty common knowledge, I think, that usually most people's first run at something, they don't make it.
Well, that's what happened with Abraham Lincoln, so I'm still encouraged.
You're in good company.
Because he wound up being assassinated, so maybe that's not so good. I don't know.
Right. Okay. Those are the introductions. That's what we've got. I haven't told you what our topic of discussion is tonight. And I think it's appropriate that since we do have a education forum come up, that we go ahead and get you prepped for that by talking a little bit about education, current state of our education system, some of the things that are going on. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the level of education and the results of our public education system are not today what they were two or three decades ago. I believe North Carolina now, we're at number 78. I think that's it. The results of, look, you ride down the road, you see a billboard, and it's misspelled. Okay?
Hey, watch
television. You look in a newspaper or a publication, and there's all kinds of grammatical errors and spelling errors. It's just
when they had the school crossing and they spelled school wrong. Yeah, that was good.
And they don't teach cursive.
Right.
They can't write a check out.
You know, we just aren't providing the level of education today that's been provided in the past, even in my lifetime. And there's a reason for all that. And I believe, because I have studied some of the history, I have lived through some of the history, I have seen firsthand that it is not a conspiracy theory that the Communist Party and the Socialist set out with a design to use our education system to indoctrinate our kids, to bring them into a globalist kind of think that, you know, Hillary Clinton put out the book, It Takes a Village, you know. We had elected officials stand up there and tell us that our children weren't our children. They were part of the collective.
That didn't make it true.
That's right. And so there's this big globalist agenda that is out there, thanks to the UN and some of these other globalist organizations. Another thing is you take the teachers' unions. The teachers' unions are overwhelmingly have a extreme left leaning. And supply most of their contributions, campaign, pretty much all of them, go to left-leaning candidates, some very far left-leaning. So those are some of the issues we're going to talk about. Hal?
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that this would be the topic of tonight's meeting and message to us. And I think Rainer looked specifically about that. But I just looked at organizations and that try to influence schools in the schools. And so I thought I'd print out a copy of those. I started to print, and I looked, and I said, oh, my gosh. So I looked at how many pages it was going to be, 178 pages.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. And they were all just organizations, you know, the teachers that teach this, the teachers that do that, the principals, the assistants, the nurses that go to school, nurse, everything. Everybody's got an organization.
Right. And if you look at the root, usually there's one main organization that they all branch off of. And usually you'll see names like George Soros, his foundations. They have all these other sub-organizations out there.
I looked at several of them. There was an article on the Balance smallbusiness.com that listed several they consider to be good. I'm not sure I agree with their choices. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, I went to each of those websites and looked at them. They all seem to be working for equality in schools, underserved people, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then I looked to see who their donors are. And in several cases, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation contributes heavily. In a couple places, Google contributed heavily. And when I say heavily, one of them, Bill and Melinda Gates, gave $10 million. I consider that rather substantial.
Right.
And they all seem to have the same slant, the same bias, use the same words and phrases.
Right. You'll find that's common.
Yeah.
Bob?
You know, you had mentioned equality, and that there is a great difference in equality of opportunity versus equality of outcome.
Bingo.
Okay, and that's one thing that that those organizations are striving for is the equality of outcome. The other thing that I'd like to point out in today's education is, and again, we hear the teacher-student ratio, and we hear that there's so many students in a class. Well, there's so many administrators in a school that I never knew existed before that I question. You've got to get there to the students. You've got to communicate with the students. You can't just be some backroom administrator there.
Right. And why are there so many students in a class? Well, number one is because they're against school choice. And, you know, it'd be nice if a lot of those students were homeschooled or in charter schools, but they don't allow them school choice. Why don't they allow them school choice? Because it's all about the money. They're chasing the dollars. The more students they can get in, the more federal grants and dollars they get in. So, you know, that's another issue there. The other topic that we're going to talk about tonight, which is currently in the news cycle because President Trump has issued edicts to all of the federal agencies that they are to cease and desist on this critical race training. So we're going to talk about that and how that's also affecting the education system right after we come back from this break to hear from our sponsors.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician. Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, the issues that we're talking about, critical race theory, which is the president has issued an order to stop all federal training on critical race theory. And then we're going to talk also about the infiltration of our education system with communist and socialist agendas, and also critical race theory there. Mary, you said you had exactly what the president said on
Well, I have the memo that OMB Director Russell Vaught, however you pronounce his name, issued. And this is some of what it says, and I think this is amazing. It has come to the president's attention that executive branch agencies have spent millions of taxpayer dollars to date training government workers to believe divisive anti-American propaganda. For example, according to press reports, employees across the executive branch have been required to attend trainings where they are told that virtually all white people contribute to racism, or where they are required to say that they benefit from racism. According to press reports, in some cases, these trainings have further claimed that there is racism embedded in the belief that America is the land of opportunity, or the belief that the most qualified person should receive a job. Now, he goes on, and I think this is the important part. These types of training not only run counter to the fundamental beliefs for which our nation has stood since its inception, but they also engender division and resentment within the federal workforce. We can be proud that as an employer, the federal government has employees of all races, ethnicity. Thank you. And religions. We can be proud that Americans from all over the country seek to join our workforce and dedicate themselves to public service. We can be proud of our continued efforts to welcome all individuals who seek to serve their fellow Americans as federal employees. However, we cannot accept our employees receiving training that seeks to undercut our core values as Americans and drive division within our workforce. Now, it goes on, but that's the...
That's the gist of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the meat of it. Melissa?
We kind of didn't delve into what critical race theory is.
I was saving that for Dr. Harrop.
Well, I'm no doctor. But when I am.
She stayed in a Holiday Inn Express.
So we're going to pass that over to Dr. Harrop. I did want to say that. No, it's okay. I did want to say that, you know, if you don't think this is going on, just you really need to look into it. Look up what happened in Seattle. There are some documents that have been leaked from meetings there where they'll tell you that they are pulling in only white employees and telling them these things. Look up All Whites Are Racist on YouTube. Ashley Shackelford brings in a bunch of white employees and has written All Whites Are Racist on the whiteboard and begins to tell them that they're not born human, they're born as demons. And that they will always be racist. And this is at their workplace. This is what they sat through to listen to.
And these are this people was who complain about hate speech. Is that the same group?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd go find another job.
Hey, that reminds me of that old country song, Take This Job and Shove It.
Right. Yeah. Well,
a lot of your major corporations have bought into this because they don't want to get caught up in it. So they're succumbing to it. They want to be in compliance.
But it hasn't protected them.
No.
There were places that were looted in some of these riots that had signs on them, "We support Black Lives Matter."
Right.
It didn't stop the people from breaking the glass and going in and stealing stuff.
Right. All right, Dr. Hare, what say you?
Well, I think, like a lot of things that are going on, it's helpful to look back on the origins of it.
Right.
What is the purpose of this movement? This systemic race, supposed systemic racism. It's interesting the way they term it, because systemic is a concept that is inherent, and consequently you can't, or you don't have to identify specific instances. You just assume you're white, so you're inherently racist, and even though you might not even be conscious of it. And in this training, they made people stand up and say, "Yes, I am. I'm not even aware of it, but I understand that I am racist." So, but
and,
I think
they
looking
also,
at it
from, I don't mean to interrupt you, but they also teach that there's racism in every single interaction, relationship, every single thing. Is that correct?
And there is where I think we get down to what the objective is. I think the objective from the left is, and I'm going to call them Marxists, socialists. I don't think left is strong enough what we're dealing with. These people, let's call them, I'm going to call them Marxists.
I agree with you.
They want to use race as a dividing factor in our society to tear our society apart.
If you go back to the 40s and 50s and read their documents, that's exactly their plan. They said the best way to take down our country is by dividing us in race.
And that's exactly what they're doing. And they're doing it in a way in which the it's very difficult to refute it, because you don't even have to be accused of overt behavior. You're just that way because you have that skin color. Unfortunately, it has a very negative impact on minorities, because the minorities begin to develop this notion of what in psychology we call learned helplessness. It's the notion that you cannot control what happens to you in your life, and consequently, it's outside of your control to improve yourself.
Uh-oh.
And that's what a helpless. And then the corollary to that is you look and say, well, I can't improve my life, so there must be a reason. And the reason is somebody else is holding me back.
Right.
Not because I didn't learn the proper values, not because I didn't learn to work hard, or not because I didn't learn to delay gratification, to save for something I want, and so on and so forth, which is really the issue. Because the issue is that these values that they're against are the heart of Western civilization.
Right.
And they are the values that built this country. And they're not race-related. The idea, for example, that you have a nuclear family, which, of course, who's against it? Black Lives Matter. One of their platforms is we want to get rid of the nuclear family.
Right.
That was one. That's the inherent strength of Western civilization. It's also the notion of individual responsibility, which is part of capitalism. You make your own way. And all these values that are, like I said, they're independent of your skin color. And there's something that if a minority person inculcates that in their own lives, they become successful.
Hear, hear.
If you look at the successful minorities, they manifest those, and they will say that. They will say, "Well, when I grew up, my mother made me do this, and my father made me do that,
right.
And they sent me to school and church, and I learned these values," and they're inherently successful.
Right,
but the danger is that with this racism that they're teaching now, that people are being taught no matter what you do, you cannot be successful because somebody, a bad person's holding you back.
And isn't that a hell of a thing to convince another human being that they have to deal with?
The other part of that
is horrible, grotesque.
The other part of that is dependency on the government. They're being taught that right. you, for everything you need, everything you want, you need to turn to the government. Right. Let the government provide it for you. Let me read a little quote here from an article by Alex Newman. Alex writes for the New American Magazine, and we've had him in one of our monthly meetings. We've also had him on our radio show before. But he's got this issue of the New American magazine out. It's called Rescuing Our Children. You can find it online. Just search for New American. And the whole magazine is dedicated to what we're talking about tonight. So I'm a quote from one of his articles here. The battle over education is about more than just whether children will be properly educated. Education, it turns out, is the secret weapon of those seeking to build what frequently referred to in public as a new world order. And they not only admit it, they boast of it in public. The very future of the United States as a free and self-governing republic hinges on the outcome of this battle. So that's part of the problem. And we've talked about it before. When you talk about the New World Order, many years ago, we talked to you and held classes on and explained what Agenda 21 was. It's a globalist initiative. Well, now it's Agenda 30. And it's the same as Agenda 21, only they've compounded it and added to it, and it's much worse. So those are some of the things that we've tried to forewarn you of. But, you know, a lot of times you get hit with, oh, those are conspiracy theories. Well, your conspiracy theories are marching in the streets now, burning down buildings. Your conspiracy theories are trying to steal elections and manipulate elections. All your conspiracy theories have come true. Okay, so you can drop the conspiracy theory stuff, and let's start talking about the facts and what's going on in society. Rainer?
I want to go back and underline something that Alan said. He was talking about the values of Western civilization, the nuclear family, the work ethic, and so on, and pointed out that it leads to success every time it's employed concurrently, each of them. But it leads to something else. It leads to human happiness.
All right.
And I think we need to be real careful to share with people that vision for how to live a good and happy life and successful, define success any way you want. But incorporating those values has value of its own in that it really does lead to human happiness. And people who are selling this garbage are selling people into misery, and it should not be tolerated.
And what are they using? They're using fear and deception. And
And unfortunately, just to pick up on what Rainer was saying, is that the individuals who are being taught these facts, or what they call facts, this theory of racial. Anyway, the thing is, they are equating successful values with something evil. In other words, that's part of the racist white man's principles.
Right.
So therefore, if you accept those, you are being duped.
Upside
you are
down
being
and backwards.
Taken advantage of, so they can't even look at those values and look at them objectively and say, well, these values, when somebody works hard and they save their money and they do these things, they're likely to be successful. They can't do that. If you believe that by doing that, you are just giving in to the racist ideology of the white people.
Right.
And that is so inherently damaging.
It's also false.
It's contorted.
Of course it's false.
Okay, Mayor?
One of the places that we really saw this played out was Hurricane Katrina.
Yes.
In New Orleans. Because New Orleans is a very unique city. It's made up of musicians and artists who don't necessarily have a lot of practical financial skills. And what happened was FEMA came in as soon as the hurricane left
and gave everyone a check for $3,000 or $4,000 so they could find a place to live. And all of a sudden, the strip clubs got very busy.
Oh, gosh.
That's what happened. That's seriously what the gambling boats and the strip clubs got very busy.
Yep.
Because these people, number one, they didn't know enough to get out of the city because the government was going to take care of them. They had never developed the initiative to get out of the city, and they had never developed the financial and look forward skills to understand that that money was to help them find a place to live. And that's, again, that's part of that mentality that says, I can't do anything, so I'm just going to wait for the flood to come.
I'm going to go have fun, yeah.
Well, we actually see this all come in a loop, kind of tying in what you were saying, is that that they're Marxists. You know, the Black Lives Matter leaders state blatantly, we have very thorough Marxist training. This is the critical race theory is a Marxist idea. They do hate free society. They do see everyone as a collective. There is no independent. If you are white, you are part of the collective white. Therefore, you are racist. You believe in white supremacy. If you are black or minority, you are part of that collective. Therefore, you're dependent. You know, when they hold you down with this kind of education, which you were talking about, the values, and teach you to be dependent, the government will take care of you. And this is really big in the lecture right now. When you let the government take care of you and you don't have that success, you are easier to control. If you don't gain those values, you are easier to control. And that, when they say get off the Democratic plantation, I mean, that's just a talking point they have right now. But it happens. That's what it is. You know, you are taking those handouts over and over. You know, why did they go spend that money at the strip club or at the casinos? Because they expect the government to give them another handout.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Okay, we got to take another break. But before we do, let's talk about the agenda. The agenda here is what we're talking about is sustainable socialism. And if you remember in 1990, amid the invasion of Iraq, President George H.W. Bush at the time spoke publicly of what he called a new world order. As part of this order, Bush told America that a credible United Nations would use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders. First, consider the fact that the UN's founders included Joseph Stalin, one of history's most brutal tyrants, as well as his U.S. agent, convicted Soviet spy, and first UN Secretary General Alger Hiss. Then consider that the New World Order would be based on their vision, not the vision of America's founding fathers. And here's where it starts. Driving God the Creator out of the public schools was crucial to this agenda.
Check.
And if you go back and look at when that took place, you can follow the curve downwards on everything.
Absolutely.
Everything started going to pot. Got to take a quick break. Be right back after we hear from our sponsors.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation thus far. Please join us at our next public meeting on the 15th of September and get to know us a little bit better in person. Talking about this new world order and the agenda of the globalists on what they're trying to accomplish with this socialism, there's a couple other things I want to point out. Some of the tools that they've used. In the recent past, CCTA has been very involved in fighting against Common Core in the school systems. Now, what was Common Core? Common. Globalist. We're all alike. We're all one new world order.
We're all very different from each other.
I got news for you. I had five kids. And even within our own family, they weren't common. Okay? They were all individuals. Mm-hmm. Every child is an individual. And Every child doesn't have the same needs or require the same methods or they aren't common. They have uniqueness, and they need to be handled that way. In the old days, teachers, maybe their class sizes weren't as big, but the uniqueness of their students was still there, and they didn't teach them as if they were all the same. Okay? Yes, they all got the common math, reading, and writing skills, but some of them required more effort than others, and they were treated as individuals. It doesn't happen anymore.
What they do now, Rick, just to pick up on what you're saying, is they teach towards the lowest common denominator.
Right.
That's the objective.
Yep.
The objective is
not
to allow everyone to maximize their abilities and skills. It's quite the opposite. I have grandchildren that are going to the public schools, and I was playing cards with one of my grandsons, and he was like 7, 8. And he started losing, and he started crying. I said, what's the problem? You're hurting my feelings. My feelings are getting hurt. My sister's winning more than I am. And that's what it gets down to. And they're taught to feel guilty if they excel over one of their classmates.
Yep. How horrible.
So instead of when I was growing, and you're talking about class size. Mm-hmm. Class size is when I was went to school. 30s, 40s in a classroom, one teacher. There was discipline, but you listened. But the point is, instead of celebrating the higher achievers, now they accuse them, you're not being fair. Ugh. You're hurting my feelings. Yep. And that diminishes their status, so therefore the children grow up not wanting to achieve because they get negative feedback if they stand out.
Right. Good grief.
Right. Yeah, we've had quite a bit of talk this evening, rightfully so, about parental influence on children. And it made me think about one time a conversation I had with my dad. I asked him, I said, Dad, why do you spend so much time, more time with my brother, with Buddy? You're always helping him make things and doing things with him, and you spend more time with him than you do with me. And I said, why? And my dad said, Hal, I spend my time where I think it's needed.
Good point.
Well, what you were saying, Dr. Harrop, is that when you said there were, you know, 30, 40 kids in the class with one teacher, and they knew how to listen to that teacher when they came in, but that teacher was also probably teaching two or three grades in the same class as well. That used to be pretty common.
Yes.
You know, even when I, being the youngest one here, in case y'all didn't know that, I'm the youngest.
rub it in.
When I was in elementary school, I was a very avid reader. I could read before I went to school into kindergarten. And when I was in the first grade, I went to the second and third grade reading classes. I left my class and went to those classes. Now, when my son came along, he could read before he went to school as well. He was a discipline problem. Because they would not, they had to teach to the common, like you said, and he was bored to death. Mm-hmm. He knew it all, he'd done it, and no matter how many times I sat in there and said, can you just please give him a bigger book, give him something more advanced, let him, you know, he had to sit there and plod along, and therefore he's, now how many of your children nowadays do you hear on their ADHD,
that's
medication,
the excuse, right?
They're all discipline problems. You hear that all the time. Did you guys hear that growing up? Did you have that?
It didn't exist.
Mine was incredibly brilliant. Discipline problem.
That was me. Mine was behavior.
Yes.
Okay.
Bored to death.
Mm-hmm. I was a daydreamer.
Yeah. and it just wasn't right. I was a grown adult when I figured out, man, I had ADHD. You know,
I didn't know until I was 55.
Yeah,
right. No, it's not.
Did you get disability for it at that point? You know, now they claim a lot of this stuff because there's some rewards that go with it. You know, you get special training or you get money for it or whatever. But you know, we're talking about how this relates to racism, and there's something very racist about the notion that if you have a mixed class with minorities and other people, that you have to reduce your expectations because they can't achieve up to the standard that might have existed previously.
That
is extremely racist because you are actually basing your decisions on racism, not on values or anything else.
Yeah, Rick had had a paper that he wrote some time ago, and I think it's wonderful. I wish he'd take a couple of minutes and just read it. It's not very long.
If I can just point this out real quick, on your theory about that, Ben Carson, as a youngster in class, would have been, based on that, would have been dumbed down. I mean, just think of that. And he's one of the most famous, brilliant neurologist there.
And there's a story about a teacher back in the days, and when I was in school, it was that way. You had a fast learners, medium, and slow learners, mm-hmm. and in separate groups so that you could go at whatever speed you could achieve. Mm-hmm. And a teacher was given a group of the slow kids and told they were fast kids, and they made massive gains that year.
Wow.
What a teacher expects of a child
absolutely
often draws that out of them.
Right.
Absolutely.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Well, there's another issue that you mentioned earlier, Alan, and you know, you got to be able to blame somebody for your failures. Okay. And once you've done that, once it's all the white man's fault that you have not achieved what you wanted to achieve, and so you're not equal to him, you don't have the equal stuff. So, how do you fix that?
Yeah, and then
they want reparations.
Reparations, yes. Because if somebody else is holding you back, keeping you from achieving, then especially if you look at it multi-generations, then the solution becomes you owe me something.
Right.
And that you owe me something goes down the road of reparations. And it's really moving in that direction. I read the other day that there is a bill going through Congress, the House of Representatives, that has the support right now of 140 representatives And that bill would establish a study commission on reparations. Now, the bill does not by itself at this point implement it, but you know what's coming.
Oh, yes.
Once they start a study commission, they're going to go back and say, you know, we had this findings of this group, and they come back, and then legislation. And the scary thing about it, the amounts of money they're talking about are overwhelming. One proposal recommends an amount of $800,000 to every minority family, to the tune of $12 to $15 trillion.
Yep.
And in this era where money is just created by printing it, those things, it sounds outlandish.
All right.
But if they get enough votes and so on and so forth.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, could happen.
There you go, folks. That's another example of elections have consequences. And if we don't get some of these far left-leaning liberal minds out of our Congress, those bills like that are going to not just hit the floor.
And it's just plain stupid. And nobody's alive today who was a slave. Nobody's alive today who owned a slave. That most of our people are a mixture of races. Many, many of them are. So if one part's white and one part's black, who gives how much to whom?
Right.
It's just stupid.
Right. Plus, the people that are alive weren't part of that.
No. And it leads to such stinking thinking, because if it is not your fault, you can't fix it.
That's
and if
right.
you can't fix it, you're doomed to a miserable life. Forget that. If you're not living the life you want to live, figure out what's wrong and fix it yourself.
Right.
Then, well, I do want to warn you with going with this critical race theory in the education system is, you know, they actually have these are coming out of the colleges that, and I'm sure you've heard them or read them, Dr. Harrop, that they're starting to question that science and mathematics are racist.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
That's a white supremacy idea. You know, you may see these t-shirts or these memes about 2 + 2 = 5. It's not a joke. I mean, they are really questioning that it's a white supremacy idea, the mathematics and science that we have known for eons.
It's a way to get things done effectively.
Well,
so are you trying to make everybody defective and ineffective?
Don't drive over a bridge designed by today's college students.
They've already tried to change with Common Core how, you know, if you guys went through, had a kid that did Common Core, holy cow, 30 minutes to figure out, you know, 22 divided by 11. But now that we...
PC.
Yeah, you just don't... You need to get back to the basics. But anyway, what I'm saying is, I believe, you know, you're teaching these kids that everything is racist. It's a collective idea. You're teaching them that everything white, different, is, they think they're white supremacists, they are racist. So you don't want to follow that. You don't want to listen to that. And now they're teaching you that the very education is racist. So you don't want to follow that, listen to that. Where are you going to start?
Never mind
over?
Good spelling. Never mind
it's
good grammar.
Chaos and confusion. And where is that going to lead us?
All right. Well, before we go to this break, real quick, I want to mention the Blaze, Glenn Beck's program. He had a special report, and this has been 2 or 3 weeks ago, called Brainwashed, where they're exposing a lot of the stuff that's going on. There was a Democrat teacher in New York, I believe, and I believe he was a minority, got so sick and tired of what they were pushing down, and he just knew it wasn't right. So he started downloading the agendas, the curriculums that they were putting out, and he has downloaded over 800 pages of examples of what's being taught to the kids in the school system. And if you go to glennbeck.com or The Blaze and just look for Brainwashed, you'll find that information. There's a link that takes you to Google site where those 800 documents are. Go in there and do your research and see for yourself what's actually going on. Actually, tonight, which is Wednesday night that we're recording, part two of that special is coming on Glenn Beck. So by the time we hit the air, it will have already been there. And it's a YouTube thing also, so you can go back and pull it up and watch that. Brainwashed on Glenn Beck on YouTube. Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, folks, we've talked about the education system, the problems, the division there, the racial divide, a lot of things that are being pushed down to indoctrinate our children and to further divide us. Dr. Harrop, what's the solutions?
Well, sometimes when you look at a situation as bad as it is now, it's like you mentioned earlier, it's not only is the curriculum slanted in the way the left wants it. The teachers tend to be leftists.
Right.
The teachers' union definitely is leftist. Now, the president, the other day in his speech in Winston-Salem, he said that he was going to institute a curriculum in the schools that would teach patriotism.
Right.
I've never heard that from any president in my life.
Right.
And I think that's his effort to try to do something to counteract
right.
it.
We actually have that in North Carolina. It was House Bill 588, the Founding right. Principles Act. It's just not being enforced, and I'm glad you brought that up about the teachers, because that is the major part of the problem here. Folks, if you go online, try to look at your local school system, let's say here in Craven County, to find out what are they teaching, is any of this stuff actually in our school system, you're not going to find it. It's not easy to find out. You can talk to your kids, ask them what they're being taught, and in some states, they've actually said, while we're doing this remote learning, do not look at what your kids are
that's
doing.
Correct.
Yes,
I heard
that's that. Why. You had to sign a waiver that you will not listen to what
why?
They're being
why?
Taught.
Here's my answer to your question. What do you do about it? What you do is you go back and you implement vouchers. School vouchers, not just for private school, homeschooling.
Right.
In my opinion, the only way to combat this is to get control of the money. As long as the public schools have all the money, that's why they don't want charter schools.
Right.
My daughter went to a charter school. It was a great school. I homeschooled my daughter also part of that time. But if you had a system where every parent who homeschooled got some of that money that would normally be going to the school
right.
system, and not just for private school, but for homeschooling, you'd be on your way to solving it, because then the schools would want to retain those students.
Yep.
It's not just
right.
that you could teach them, but they're not going to work, because if you lose students, they're going to lose jobs.
Right.
They're going to lose teaching jobs. So then their attitude may shift, but and even if it doesn't, you are controlling what your children are learning. And that's
beautiful
the only hope,
idea.
In my opinion.
Right.
It gets down to money.
It goes back to the same problem that you have with the racism issue, dependency. The public school system is dependent on government money. And they go after that. They're more concerned in that dollar than they are in those students.
Okay.
And you're absolutely right. The best thing we can do is get those kids out of there. Now, I'm not an idiot. I understand that you're not going to get rid of public education. You don't want to get rid of public education, because every family's not going to be able to do homeschool or charter school. Even if you give them the vouchers, some of them aren't still, or for some circumstances beyond their control, won't be able to do that. Okay? So you've got to have a public school system to fill the gap, to fill the void. But you've got to get rid of this indoctrination and all out of the schools. Back to what you said about the teachers. That is a big part of the problem, because even if you look and it's not in the curriculum, these teachers individually are bringing their own opinions, their own leftist agendas,
absolutely.
Their own socialist ideas, and they are using them in the classroom.
Amen.
We got to get rid of those teachers.
Yeah.
We got to unite. There's got to be some penalty for doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mary?
One of the first things we need to do is get the curriculum out of Washington, D.C. and bring it back to the local level.
Absolutely. Department of Education needs to go.
I just wanted to say that we just want control back of our education system. And, you know, it was Hitler who said, I don't need you, I control your children.
Yep.
Don't let someone else control our children.
Good point. Very good point. Okay, folks, that's all the time we have for today's show. Again, we want to thank Dr. Alan Harrop for joining us tonight.
It's been my pleasure, Rick.
It was a great addition to the program. And
remember that September the 15th, CCTA and the God and Country Christian Alliance are co-sponsoring a forum of the Craven County School Board. All 8 candidates have been invited, and you are invited to join us as well. It's free and open to public, downtown New Bern, Stanley Hall Ballroom. It starts at 7 p.m. Please invite a friend and come on down and join us.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.